Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been observing the effects of the coronavirus, of course, worldwide and in our culture as well. This is in the news constantly, as we cannot escape the reality of this pandemic and its effects. But we've been looking at how the coronavirus and some of the false prophets and false teachers claiming to be Christians who might be helping to open a back door to the one world religion that's prophesied in Scripture, you know, the true prophets who have told us of the, one world religion to come and the one world government as well. And I will actually be speaking not only of the effects of how it's influencing the possibilities for the one world religion and contributing to it, but also to the one world government. And I think if I had a title, one of the titles I've used in the past is a backdoor to the one world religion. But I think tonight, maybe Who's Laughing Now might be an appropriate title, particularly after you understand as we go along tonight who we're discussing. It's the same individual that we got our foot in the door with last week, Rodney Howard Brown, also known a.k.a. The Holy Ghost Bartender. And, you know, we saw that false prophecies from Steve Strang of Charisma Magazine, Cal Pierce, Kenneth Copeland, and Joseph Prince concerning the duration and the existence of the coronavirus could be bringing this effect. As I say, we spoke a little bit about the so-called Holy Ghost Bartender, Rodney Howard Brown's reckless actions regarding his church in an article we looked at. We'll be looking a little bit more, a couple more things concerning him, a couple more articles, as he is yet another false teacher, false prophet, who is perhaps turning people, well, no doubt, turning people away from true Christianity, but the net result, perhaps people turning towards the one world religion instead. Now, for those who may not remember Rodney Howard Brown, he revived what was known as the Holy Laughter, and he, of course, known as the Holy Laughter Revival or the Laughing Revival or what have you. But he revived this Holy Laughter experience that has really been around throughout the history of Pentecostalism. I was actually exposed to it before Rodney Howard Brown came on the scene. I know I'm dating myself, but nevertheless, in the early 70s, and I intend on sharing a little bit about that later today or tonight. And, you know, in my outline, really, we've been looking at examples that are directly related to the coronavirus turning people towards one world religion. And I'm at point number 7 in the article, the next article about Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. And the article reads, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown says shots were fired at his church and he's now getting death threats. And this is from the Christian Post article, March 31st, 2020. I'm going to read a little bit from that article, make some comments as we go. Pastor, hours after he was arrested for holding worship services during the coronavirus pandemic in violation of a Safer at Home order Monday, leader of River at Tampa Bay Church in Tampa, Florida, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown says he's now getting death threats and shots were fired at the church's sign. Howard Brown made the claims during a Facebook Live broadcast where he said the threats were stirred by religious bigotry and hatred in the media, which forced him to make his Twitter and Instagram accounts private, and he called police to report the shots fired at the church. Well, religious bigotry and hatred, but, you know, people are basically turned off to his fake brand of Christianity, and also, of course, they're turned off to true Christians as a result, or many are. And, of course, it remains to be seen whether this event even actually happened, this church shooting, what have you. The media are stirring up every kind of religious bigotry and hatred right now. People firing shots last night at the church sign from the highway. We went this morning. There were no bullet holes. We did report it, but the police say unless you can show where the bullet landed, but I mean the guys' security was that were there. They could hear the gun going off and then the death threats to the ministry and to the staff. It's beyond the pale. So people have basically, literally, lost their ever-loving minds, Howard Brown said. Well, they might want to attend Howard Rodney's church then. I couldn't resist that. That's a cheap shot. That just came to mind to me as I just spontaneously came to my mind. Anyway, there is a certain amount of lunacy which is associated with the antics of many of these false teachers, but it goes beyond the foolishness and the silliness that we observe to the spiritual danger, of course, and other dangers as well that are involved with any cultic type group. Now, it was not immediately clear which sheriff's office was called to report the attack on his church, but an official at the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, which announced his arrest Monday, told the Christian Post that they have no record of the alleged gunfire incident at River Tampa Bay Church. The sheriff's office said Howard Brown was arrested at his home in Hernando County around 1:30 p.m. Monday for intentionally and repeatedly hosting church services with hundreds of members in attendance. Despite knowing he was in violation of orders set in place by President Trump, the governor of Florida, the CDC, and the Hillsborough County Emergency Police Group. The specific second-degree misdemeanors Howard Brown was arrested for are unlawful assembly and violation of public health emergency rules. His actions were a direct violation of Executive Order 20-05, which went into effect on March 20th, limiting gatherings, including faith-based gatherings, to less than 10 people. He was also violating the Safer at Home Order, which went into effect on March 27th, advising Hillsborough County residents to remain in their homes as much as possible to create greater social distancing and reduce the spread of the new coronavirus, the sheriff's office said. Officials explained that on Friday and again on Sunday, personal and legal staff from the sheriff's office spoke with attorneys representing the church in an attempt to educate them on the orders in place and the dangerous environment they were creating for their members in the community. But Howard Brown and his church leaders chose not to comply. His reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in this congregation at risk and thousands of residents who may interact with them this week in danger, said Sheriff Chad Cronister. The river has an advantage over most places, and I mentioned this last week in the article I shared, because they have access to technology that allows them to live stream their services and broadcast television for the more than 4,000 members to watch from the safety of their homes. You know, Rodney Brown says, you know, we have forced a national debate on the First Amendment, and it's not about a virus. It's about the church being an essential service to the community and where the church can meet and take care of people. That's the whole thing, he said. And I might add, and help drain their wallets, okay? because, of course, so many of these false prophets and false teachers are described in 2 Peter. And if I have time in tonight's broadcast, I will quote from a couple of scriptures pertaining to some of these type people that we were warned about that would appear not only in the apostles' days, but in the last days. And in further reading, he goes on to say, and I'm going to be quoting the titles of some of his books, but I certainly hope you don't buy them. But I quote them because of the subject matter and the titles of them. And I'll explain why in a minute, why I think it's important to mention the topics he's dealing with. A lot of people, they don't understand what's going on. You see, I understand because I've preached on this for years, he said, pointing to his first book, The Killing of Uncle Sam, The Demise of the United States of America. He says, they don't understand what's going on. And of course, I wrote in my notes, I understand he's driving people away from the true gospel and Christ while posing as a patriotic martyr. And then further in the article, it says, Howard Brown also touted his other books, Killing the Planet, How a Financial Cartel Doomed Mankind, discussing vaccines and socialism under the microscope. And again, my comments are, so he seeks to align with those rightly concerned about our future freedoms while representing the worst elements of fake Christianity. And so we have a lot of things that are dovetailing here, coming together in these last days. lots of concerns about our liberties, our freedoms, etc. And of course, there's open debate going on about all this stuff while we're in the coronavirus era here. In his case, that's exactly what I believe he's doing. Of course, he wants to jump right into the middle of this whole debate about religious freedoms, etc., and help stir the pot, so to speak, to endeavor to continue with his reckless actions. Towards the end of the article, he says, he said he's not insisting on gathering because he's worried about losing money. And of course, I would say, yeah, I believe he is. My opinion, of course. Because, like most TV evangelists and false teachers, etc., money's always a big part of it. And again, 2 Peter talks about that. I would say, you know, has the government said you can never meet in church again, you know, because you might catch something? You know, of course not. Anyway, going on, he says, money is not the issue when it comes to the Constitution. Okay, so I believe in the Constitution and everything, but he is wrapping himself around the Constitution or vice versa. And, you know, to, again, the patriotic martyr thing, which will appeal to many people, regardless, perhaps, of their Christian or religious affiliations. He says, you think the Founding Fathers didn't know what viruses were? He said, urging people to stop and think and not accept what is being fed to them on television. He said he plans to follow the Holy Ghost on how to proceed, and maybe by the weekend people will know his next move. Well, from what I understand, he decided to use the technology after this article was written, and now he's doing the more reasonable thing, in my opinion. But when he says he's going to follow the Holy Ghost, I believe he's actually following a deceiving spirit. If any spirit involved or any ghost is involved, it's deceiving spirits that Scripture warned about in the last days, that Paul and others warned about, that would be deceiving others and would be influencing false teachers. And again, the verse Matthew 7:22 and 24. And I say again, I haven't quoted it yet, but later I hope to have time to share that along with the 2 Peter verses. And that's the one where, you know, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. Now, he says, God is on the side of the church, he said, in the body of Christ we pray. We have a God who answers by fire, and he hears from heaven. Answers by fire? I would say, you know, what in the world is he talking about? But I know that, you know, some of the teachings, and believe me, we're not taking time like we did with Kenneth Copeland in an earlier podcast to enunciate a lot of the false teachings that he holds to, but he's in the same line of the New Apostolic Reformation, the Word Faith, prosperity teachers, etc. He teaches many false teachings, and so I will not spend time speaking to any of the things he talks about except for the experiential holy laughter experience. And so really at this point, I'd like to share a little bit about my experience. Years ago as a baby Christian, I was born again in 1973, and around that time, actually, I'd say around 1974, I had a job where I traveled around picking up lease cars, rental cars, to be sold at auto auctions. And so it was a low-paying but fun, adventurous job where I had the opportunity to share my faith and ran across many people, including many Christians and many false Christians. And in a small town, I believe it was in the state of Illinois, I was hurting for fellowship, and I noticed a church had their doors open. It was late afternoon, early evening. They didn't have an actual service taking place yet, but I wandered over there looking to look for some fellowship, you know, because I was a young, naive Christian, and I just thought I was saved during the Jesus movement. And I thought, well, this looks like a church that might welcome me, and I might profit from being involved with here for a few minutes, get a little fellowship. So I came in, and as I say, there was no service taking place, but there were a few people there that were hanging around and talking, and some were, you know, seemed to be praying and other things. And one of them I think I may have mentioned, you know, is your pastor here or whatever? And he said, no. He said, but this gentleman over here, you know, now he's a minister. He said, he's not the minister, but he's a minister. You know, well, I mean, we're all ministers. If we're Christians, we're all servants. We're called to be to minister to other people. But anyway, in this particular case, this was sort of a non-minister who wannabe minister, I guess, looking in retrospect at the situation. And so I shared some of the burdens that I had, and I was going through difficulties in my walk with the Lord at the time. And you know, so he said, well, you know, here, I want to pray with you, and, you know, let's just see, the Lord's going to help relieve this and deliver you and all that. And hey, great, you know, I'm all about prayer and seeking God and God's help, and I'll take all I can get as long as it's, well, anyway. So anyway, I'm jumping ahead in my story. But so this man started praying, and one of the things he said in his prayer was, you know, oh God, you know, we just pray that you'll give this man a holy laugh, you know, or that you'll minister to him. You know, I don't remember the exact terminology. This, again, was back in 1974, but it was a reference to an experience that I was supposed to have, that I was supposed to be looking for. And I suppose, you know, if this guy was the minister and he had some kind of powers or whatever to impart to me, that I was going to have something take place. Well, after he prayed this, which I had never heard this term before, again, it predated Rodney Howard Brown's Laughing Revival, I thought, holy laugh. I thought, well, you know, holy Batman. I don't feel like laughing. I don't feel good actually right now, and I don't understand what he means, and I don't hear anything funny going on. I wonder what he's talking about. But I thought, well, you know, maybe something's going to happen. Maybe I'm going to feel like laughing. I don't know. Well, I didn't. And as I sat there, I felt this pressure, you know, this peer pressure, except they weren't really my peers, but my newfound Christian friends, and I thought they were Christian. I think, you know, you could call it peer pressure. You could call it, I don't know, group dynamics. You know, I just felt this incredible pressure that I needed to respond in some way. I needed to perform in some way so that the reverend minister here, you know, could save face and everybody could see, you know, what a spiritual giant he was or whatever. And so I thought, well, am I supposed to laugh? I mean, wouldn't that be fake? I mean, to just laugh or pretend something's funny or pretend I'm having an experience or whatever. And all I know was it was like crickets, you know, in the background. There's nothing funny happening. You get the point. I was tempted, as I've been in a few times in my life, to perform for someone or to do something that wasn't happening, something that wasn't real, something that was fake. And I thought, well, this is awkward, but it's not my fault. It's not my problem. I don't know what he's talking about, and I don't have any reason to laugh about anything. And so I didn't. And we all just felt awkward, and that was the end of the prayer session, and that was my exposure to at least the term holy laughter. I didn't experience the experience, but I guess that's the point. It was all about experience. It was nothing that you find in the Word of God. It was nothing that I had been taught before, and it was nothing that I really cared to be a part of. Actually, I love to laugh, and I like to make people laugh, but I don't like manufactured fake laughter. I don't need a spiritual canned laughter machine like they use in Hollywood, you know, or they used to. I don't know if they still do or not. Probably not. I'm really dating myself some more, I think. But anyway, this was my experience. And of course, many people claim to have had this experience. And I'm not going to say that that experience is not based on some type of spiritual experience. But I am going to say it's an unbiblical experience at best. It's a fake experience. It would have been for me. And it's also fake spiritually because the Bible does not teach this experience, and it's always dangerous to follow experience that is not taught in God's Word. We need to stick to the Scripture, of course. Well, anyway, I've labored long with telling you my story, but you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and I've had a lot of experiences, and part of my ministry is to warn people. And I, you know, there were no red flags that went up immediately, but all I knew was I feel pressured to perform something that's not real. That's never a good plan, you know? That's not a good thing to do, folks. I don't recommend it, and I didn't. So anyway, that was my experience with with that whole thing known as holy laughter that predated this guy. Well, as I say, there may be demons that are bringing this experience into people's life that further confirms to them the other false teachings that come with these type of teachers. But for me, no thank you. I left. Lesson learned. Beware. Keep your antenna up. And thank you, Lord, for keeping me from deception. So, anyway, moving on. now, Rodney Howard Brown's reckless behavior, in my opinion, is sort of catching like a virus, you know, because some churches, at least, or some individuals who claim to be pastors, took it upon themselves to think along the same lines as Rodney. In fact, as an example, here's an article from Fox News. It's Pennsylvania pastor, and it's dated, well, let's see, I don't have the date, but this, of course, is right after the Rodney Howard Brown articles came out. Pennsylvania pastor slams coronavirus precautions, plans Woodstock-like Easter gathering. A Pennsylvania pastor said Tuesday he plans to organize an outdoor Woodstock-like service in protest of coronavirus stay-at-home orders and following the arrest of multiple pastors in the U.S. for allegedly violating such orders. Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth said he will hold an outdoor Easter blowout service, even though Rodney Howard Brown was arrested Monday, etc. I'm going to announce it. We're going to hold an outdoor Easter blowout service, not online, a national gathering. You come from all over, like Woodstock, and we're going to gather and lift up Jesus Christ, he said. I'm not ashamed that Dr. Rodney got arrested. I'm ashamed that when they wanted to arrest preachers for having church in an entire state, there was only one to come forth. It's unclear if the two pastors are friends. This is what the article says. Although Shuttlesworth praised a GIF with the caption, "You arrested my friend," on his Twitter page Tuesday. It's not certain if he was talking about Howard Brown. Pastor arrested for having a church service in his own building on Sunday, just like 1938 Germany. And just like 1938 Germany, other pastors say nothing or applaud the arrest, Shuttlesworth wrote. On Tuesday night, he live-streamed an over-long hour broadcast titled The Rodney Howard Brown Tribute Special. The article goes on. The pastor of a Louisiana megachurch was also arrested on misdemeanor charges for holding Sunday services for hundreds of followers in the face of a statewide coronavirus large gathering ban. On Tuesday, Central Police charged Pastor Tony Spell with six counts of violating the Louisiana governor's ban on large gatherings. Of course, I understand Louisiana is a very seriously threatened place by this virus, more so than some other states, perhaps, from what I recall. Anyway, his service drew an estimated 500 people to Life Tabernacle Church. Now, I may not get to the article I hope to share. I probably won't. But there's another article concerning 43 people who fell ill at a Pentecostal church in Illinois. And, of course, I won't get into that right now. But this is the point. We've got to use some common sense here, and we've got to follow people who, you know, care about our well-being and not just the bottom line, you know, filthy lucre, otherwise known as money. anyway, I have an article, and I won't probably say much about it, but churches push back on restrictions. In Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear announced Friday that people who go to a mass gathering, including religious services, may have their license plates recorded. That information will be used to identify attendees whom local health officials will contact and require to self-quarantine for 14 days. I would just say, folks, you know, we got to trust the Lord. With all the things that are happening, the dangers, the potential dangers for world government, one world government, shadow government, all the things that are happening, we still need common sense, and we still need to trust our Lord that he's going to get us through what takes place down the road. Keep trusting in his promises. Keep holding onto his hand and he holding onto ours. Now, I mentioned the verses. I think I have time to get into those, and that may be all. Second Peter. Well, first of all, from my own Facebook, I wrote concerning Rodney Howard Brown's arrest. I said, well, he'll be okay. He'll be able to start his laughing revival there in jail where he belongs. He'll have lots to laugh about. And I wrote lunatic friends. And that's another reason why I think, again, the proper title for tonight might be Who's Laughing Now? Anyway, I wrote, but at least he may have a new cellmate soon, Kenny Copeland, who thinks he can speak the coronavirus 19 out of existence. And, of course, we've already talked about Copeland in earlier podcasts. I also commented, isn't it great to see our Lord and true Christians falsely vilified for the insanity of these evildoers. And then I said, not. So looking now at some of these verses, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And I keep hammering away at that. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, the gospel and true Christians evil spoken of, because of these false wolves. And through covetousness shall they with fake words make merchandise of you. Yes, it is about the money. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then quickly to Matthew 7, verses 22 through 24, I alluded to earlier in the podcast. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? These are becoming some of my favorite verses. I quote them from them so often lately because of all this stuff that we're seeing, these times of deception. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And this is it, the false teachers, the false prophets. Well, what are they telling you right now? Well, we're doing all these great deeds. We're prophesying in his name. We're casting out demons. We're doing all this supernatural, powerful stuff. And, you know, God's a powerful God. He can do anything. He can do anything he wants. But he warned us about those. And here is one of the warnings. Because many, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And who knows, maybe many are going to turn to the one world religion because of these false workers. And in some cases, maybe even working false miracles, actual miracles that are from the pit, deceiving, not just through peer pressure and that type of awkward group dynamics, which, you know, can condition you, but people whose minds are in a passive state through years of conditioning, through these type of people, you know, telling them what to expect. You know, you're going to laugh. You're going to have these experiences. You're going to be slain in the spirit. You're going to have all this happen to you. Just look around you. It's happening to everybody else. Why should you be unspiritual and different? You know, you better get with it. You may not be a real Christian like them. Anyway, I'm going off here. But that's really the verses, that two powerful verses I wanted to mention concerning the last days and these things that are happening. I'm just about out of time. I hope you'll join with me next week. God bless you all. Keep looking up. Good night.